I'm not going to drop F-bombs on your show, I promise.
This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 45, personal branding and maximizing your time as a side hustler.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 45, personal branding and maximizing your time as a side hustler. I am very excited to be chatting with Mr. Chris Ducker today. He's been kind of a virtual mentor to me over the past couple years through his blog and his podcast, so excited to have him on the show. Now, Chris, you may not know this, a pretty prominent side hustler himself, having started his virtual assistant recruiting business, Virtual Staff Finder, and his co-working space in Cebu, Location 63, both as side projects from his day job as a CEO of a 200-plus seat call center. So side hustling, even for entrepreneurs, it's for everybody. Notes and links at sidehustlenation.com/episode45. And stick around to the end of the show, and I'll share my virtual freedom moment, which is the title of Chris's new book, about how working with virtual staff has kind of changed my business and my life. One quick shout for new 5-star iTunes review. This one is coming in from Rain Cloud. I know a thing or two about those, having grown up in Seattle. She says, guaranteed to open your eyes. I currently have a 9-to-5 and a side hustle, but I'm always looking for ways to expand and looking for new ideas, and Nick's show rocks on both counts. So thank you so much for that. And with that, let's get down to business with Chris. Hey, Chris, welcome to The Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. It's a pleasure.
Now, Chris, if you guys are not familiar with his work, he's a big-time hustler, entrepreneur, and speaker. You probably know him as the creator of the Virtual Staff Finder VA Recruiting Service, or his popular blog at chrisducker.com. Or from his top-rated new business podcast, Busy, Busy Guy. And that's not all. He's he's the author of the new book, Virtual Freedom, How to Work with Virtual Staff to Buy More Time, Become More Productive, and Build Your Dream Business. Sounds like this one is destined to become a bestseller. So,
Chris. I hope so. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a goal. Obviously, I think every author wants to have his book received well like that. But honestly speaking, man, it's not the focus. I just want to try. I keep using this term, and it just sums it up perfectly. I just want to try and bring as much calm to the entrepreneurial storm as possible. And I think the book is one way to do it. So, I'm ready to rock it out. Only a month away now from being launched. So it's exciting stuff.
Coming up quick. And actually, by the time this goes live, I think it will come out the same week. So you guys will be able to pick up a copy of that. So Chris, you're a big advocate of kind of building your personal brand. And as I mentioned in the intro, kind of a big influence in my shift in blogging from kind of a random personal blog over to a more branded site, to be the side hustle guy, to be the founder, the chief side hustler at Side Hustle Nation. And you kind of have your saying is like your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. I'm kind of curious, why is this so important in today's business environment? And is this the best way for part-time entrepreneurs to get started on their side hustle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important because times have changed again, right? We go through these different eras, and I think, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was all about automation and taking yourself out of the running of your business and being front and center and all that sort of stuff. I think we're going right the way. I think we're going decades back where people want that personal touch. People want to do business with other people again. Brands are happy to do business with brands, but I think consumers really want to do business with people like you and me and people listening into the show, because even though it's really, really tough today to be totally original in what you're doing, because pretty much everything has already been done already. But even though it is tough to be original, what is original, what is always going to be original, is you in that equation. It's your personality, your stories, your experiences, your expertise that people will buy into. And that's why I think building a brand is so darn important for entrepreneurs and wannapreneurs today. Particularly from a side hustle perspective, building your own, you know, your own personal brand a couple hours each night or over the weekend or something when you're not working for the man, is a great way to be able to start. And I think also just from an employment perspective, if you're not wanting to become an entrepreneur, if you're wanting to, you know, maybe just do a few little jobs here and there, and carry on working full time, I think it also helps people from an employment perspective to have a good quality blog and a good quality personal brand online as well. Because the first thing that employers do nowadays is Google your name when you apply for a job.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's important to have a good vibe out there about yourself.
Yeah, so I see kind of, you know, this personal brand kind of get out there and make it happen, kind of as like the crush it mentality. And I see the automation side of things as the 4-hour work week type of things. These books came out around the same time, but very, very different mentalities on how you're going to run your business. And I see you kind of like you're right in the middle of this because you've got all the outsourcing virtual assistant stuff, but then you're also, you know, gung-ho on this personal brand side of things. So
right.
It's an interesting space to be in.
Yeah, it is. It's a focus for me that I've been focused in on for a couple of years now, since I changed my blogging, kind of journey from virtual business lifestyle over to chrisducker.com. And there was a couple of reasons why I did it. First up, I felt like I had kind of burnt out the concept of lifestyle design in terms of what I had to say about it. And so I kind of got bored, to be honest with you, Nick. I got bored talking about it. And the other thing was that I was always, for whatever reason, I can't quite put my finger on this. And I've tried to search deep down inside my soul to come up with this answer. But for some reason, I always felt like I was holding back a little bit with virtual business lifestyle. And the one thing I promised myself is when I was going to start, blogging and producing this brand at chrisducker.com, I promised myself I was going to be Chris all the time. What you see is what you get. And, you know, even though I'm mindful of the fact that you don't know who's coming across your website at any given time, I try to be as close to the real Chris as you know, in real life, quote unquote, as possible on my blog. If I want to drop a swear word on my podcast, I do it. I never drop the F-bomb. I don't think it's polite to do that in public settings with people that you don't know. Although I do drop it quite regularly on my own or with people around me that I do know, but I mean, Gary V gets up on stage and drops it in front of, 2,000, stranger. I don't have the balls to do that.
you think the shift to the personal branded domain, like just for whatever reason, that kind of like opened up the opportunity for you, or the options, like the directions you could go with the site?
I think so, yeah. And I mean, you know, like I said, I'm one of those guys that kind of, you know, what you see is what you get kind of thing. I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I don't like you, I'm going to tell you. If I got a problem with something that you've done, I'll let you know. The flip side of that is that, you know, I do have a lot of experience in business. I've been building businesses for a decade. I've, you know, been quote unquote in the business world for 23 years now. I often joke and say that's why I've got no hair left. But I mean,
yeah, you and me, I haven't been around that long, but we're rocking the same haircut.
Yeah, you've just been follically challenged. But I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things, man, where I really just want to focus in on, you know, how I can help people. And that was the reason why I put the book together after, you know, getting two offers prior to actually, you know, this round. And I decided, you know, now's the time to sort of do this and to start the speaking and just try and help as many people as I can.
Gotcha. So let's say I'm working full time. How do I go about getting started building the brand of me? Does it always start with a blog, or can be on a different platform?
I think a blog is a good way, but it doesn't, you know, it's not the be all and end all of it by any stretch of the imagination. I do believe that it's smart to have your own place, right? So, you know, you could build a Facebook page, but you don't own Facebook. You could, put lots of videos up on YouTube, but you don't own YouTube, right? So I think it's smart to build your own platform, to use a Michael Hyatt term,
okay,
and to have your own domain name and your own blog. And, you know, it's just smart. It's just a smart move because you don't want to work on all that content and then lose it for some reason, right? It would be disastrous if you were to blog for 2 years and then overnight, you know, Facebook decide to cancel your page or whatever. So,
well, when AWeber was down yesterday and Monday, and I was right. like freaking out, like, oh, should I have backed up my stuff? Like, I was really worried that they got hacked and something was, you know, if this database got erased, like, man, how am I going to reach out to all these people again? So, I'm going to make a note to back that stuff up.
You're going
to
go in and start exporting everything.
Right. Just, you know, every week or so, maybe we'll take a backup of that just in case, just to be safe.
It doesn't hurt to do that stuff, and it's wise to do it for sure. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, even just a podcast, you know, the good thing with something like that is, you know, even though you'll upload your podcast episode to a server, even though you might utilize iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher or, you know, another directory or program to get people to find and subscribe to you, you can always keep those recordings as an MP3.
Right.
So it's just like with a blog post. You can always keep a backup of that. Or if it's on your own blog, you can back up the site regularly and that sort of stuff. So I think it's smart to have your own platform.
So either with ChrisDucker.com or on the previous incarnation on the virtual business lifestyle, was there any particular tactic or strategy that you thought really accelerated the growth of that platform?
I think consistency played a really big part in it. The moment I started getting consistent with my content publishing, I noticed the stickiness came with that. And so, you know, once everybody knows that you blog on a Monday and podcast on a Friday or whatever day you decide to do it on, they'll come back every Monday and Friday. Okay. You know what I mean? And, you know, the last thing you want to do is have, you know, 2 or 3 weeks between blog posts. Because people will come back. If they like something that you write, they're going to come back to the site. And if there's nothing new, chances are they might never come back again.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's important to create new content and publish it and promote it on a regular basis. But, you know, if you're only going to blog once a week or once every 2 weeks, say that. You know, make it very clear on your website. I blog on the 15th and the 30th of every month. All the other time, I'm leaving my life and loving every minute. You know, whatever you're gonna say to get your point across. I'm not going to be here every single day with new content. But if you come back on the 15th and the 30th, there will be something new here for you to devour.
Gotcha, right? Gotcha.
So I think it's important to be as consistent as you can, you know, within your own realm and what you want to do and everything. That was a big one. The other one was that I worked hard to build up a network of like-minded people within the online space. And this is a space that I've not been in for very long. I've only been blogging 4 years, podcasting for 3 years. So I didn't know anybody, man. You know, I'm a brick and mortar guy. I own like real businesses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's not to belittle anybody with online businesses. But what I'm getting at is that this was not my world. You know what I mean? This was not my world. I wasn't aware of what this. I never sent a tweet. You know, I didn't even know what Twitter was. I thought it was just a place where you just publish pictures of your breakfast or something. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So yeah, that was the other thing that I did. I became very active in getting out there and meeting people, becoming friends with people, not because of ulterior motives, but because of what they could, you know, what they could bring to me as a business owner and what I could bring to them as a like-minded individual. And I've been very blessed to form in some cases, some very, very close friendships that I believe will probably last for life now, you know?
Right. I think that's a good point to bring up. Hey, I didn't start, you know, in 2005. I didn't start in 1998 like some of these people you talk to. Like, you know, maybe it was easier back then. There was less noise in the world. It was less crowded. But in 2010, it looked pretty crowded. Like, and all of the people blogging were like, sure, you had been around since 2006. And you're like, well, I wish I'd started then. But, you know,
right,
here we are in 2014. You know, you may be looking back at 2018, man, I wish I started today. And so that's kind of one thing I always like to point out, like wherever you are a year from now, you're going to wish you started today. So I really like that point.
Yeah.
It's never too late to throw your hat in the ring.
No, I mean, there's a new blog published every 6 seconds or something, right? So, I mean, why not make it yours?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So what do you do with this? So I'm blogging about, I don't know, like, you know, dog toys or something. I want to be like the dog toy guy. What do I do with that once I've established my personal brand in it? Like, what's that worth? Like, I mean, eventually I've got to like put a buy now, but I've got to have something to sell, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it really comes down to, you know, answering questions and providing solutions to problems. That's really what it is. You know, once you focus in on those two things, making money out of your brand becomes very easy. But you know, I'm a big believer of listening to your audience. Ultimately, your audience will determine what your business online becomes because of what they need help with. So you've got to listen. You've got to listen to your audience properly. And a lot of people don't do that. They just keep publishing, and just regurgitating the same crap over and over and over again. And how can you ever expect to make any money that way? You know, if you're not giving people what they want, they're certainly not going to put their hands in their PayPal accounts for you.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I mean, for instance, with me, I launched my branding bootcamp course, which is a very easily digestible 6-module with a handful of interviews and a couple of extra videos course. I mean, you could go through the entire thing in one day if you blanked out your day very easily.
Okay.
And there's two reasons I want to bring up here. First and foremost, I produced a course on personal branding because I was blogging about personal branding and I started to get a ton of questions about it and a lot of compliments in regards to how I was building my brand. And that's been happening for a couple of years now, okay, on and off. So that was the reason why I created the course in the first place. And why did I make it that kind of bite-sized, easy-to-digest course? Is because I know that my subscribers, my followers, my fans online don't have the time to sit through 75 videos. You know what I mean? They don't have that time, Nick. They've got time to cut out 2-3 hours to learn something that's going to further their business, but they don't have the time to invest, you know, days and days and days and days. So, and again, I got that because I listened to my audience, and we pre-launched that just to my email list. I didn't blog about it. I didn't put it on social or anything like that. And within 48 hours, we sold over 100 copies.
Awesome.
So, you know, if you create something that provides a solution to problems that people are experiencing, it's not going to necessarily be a slam dunk every single time, but you're edging your bets definitely in regards to, you know, what level of success you'll achieve.
Yeah, I like that in terms of, you know, listening to your audience and kind of what people. And this is kind of like, you know, what side hustle should I start? Like, well, what do people ask you for help about, right? And then you make a note of that and kind of like, well, what are you seen as the expert in, and even in your circle of friends, right? And you can kind of leverage that more, I'm more knowledgeable about this topic.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, it, like you said, you know, it for sure.
Exactly. So, Chris, if I mean, you've been.
And it doesn't matter whether or not it is. We got a little lag online then.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, buddy. I was going to say, you know, like you said, you've been in business for, you know, 20 plus years. If you had to start over today, you know, knowing what you know now, is there anything you would do differently in terms of, you know, launching or branding or sales or anything like that?
I would have started blogging earlier for sure. I would have focused in on the brand a little bit for sure. But the absolute one thing I would have done earlier, without a shadow of a doubt, would be build my team earlier. I almost put myself in the hospital by burning out in 2009, and that's when I realized at that point I had 100 odd people working for me. I was doing ridiculously long hours, pretty much 7 days a week, and I hit a wall, man. And I realized there and then that I just couldn't be micromanaging every aspect of my business anymore. And that's when I started building my team, both internally as well as virtually. And that really, looking back, I should have done that at least a couple of years earlier than I did. God knows where I would be now, quite frankly, if I'd have done that in terms of you know, finances, success level, you name it. I'd be in a different ballgame now if I did that. But yeah, that's the one thing I would have done for sure, is build my team earlier.
But it's tough. It's tough as the, you know, as the business owner to let go. You know, you kind of want to have the oversight, and you want to have your hand in everything. And I've been there. I think everybody's been in that same position.
For sure. And that's, you know, that's one of the defining moments in the book, is about superhero syndrome and overcoming that, and ultimately getting over yourself first and foremost, and understanding that you don't need to do it all yourself. You can't do it all yourself. Letting go is a good thing for you, your family, and your business. And I talk a lot about that, and obviously the repercussions of not doing that in the book as well.
Yeah, this is very good. So for, you know, as side hustlers, as part-time entrepreneurs, we're very pressed for time, much like, you know, an entrepreneur who's running his own business as a full-time job. So when does somebody know it's time to hire that first VA? Like, and is there a smaller, like a bite-sized virtual assistant? Like, I don't need somebody full-time, but if I could free up a couple hours, you know, a week, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you can always, you know, that there's a few different ways to outsource. There's task outsourcing, there's project outsourcing, and then there's team or role-based outsourcing, right? I'm an advocate of the latter. I believe that building the team is the most important part for an entrepreneur. However, that being said, I understand that not everybody needs somebody, you know, either full-time or part-time and as a member of their team. Possibly they might just want to, you know, outsource your task here and there, and that's fine. You go to Odesk or Elance, or they're one of the same now, right? So freelancer or whatever, it doesn't matter where you get it done. Just buy some more damn time in your day by offloading these tasks that you don't need to be doing, that someone else can be doing. And sometimes, a lot of the time, they can be doing it better than you.
Definitely.
As well. That's another part of superhero syndrome, is believing that you're better than everybody else in the universe and that there's no kryptonite out there. There's plenty of kryptonite. It's called coding. It's called graphic design, you know, and a ton of other techie stuff that a lot of entrepreneurs can't handle and try and struggle with, right? So I think really that the first step is understanding, or rather, you know, you'll know when you need the help. Like, overwhelm will hit you. It hits us all in different ways. For me, it was a full-blown burnout mode. Like I said, I just hit a wall. I was no good to anybody. But for others, it might just be the difference between working 9 hours a day and 12 hours a day. And you say, hold on, wait a minute. How did this happen?
Yeah, am I living the entrepreneurial dream here? You know, I'm working. That's what we used to joke about. Like, you can work half days, you know, from right. 7 to 7. That's half the day.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the thing is, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're screwed right out of the gate. 96% of small businesses, or whatever it is, 98%, whatever it is, fail anyway. So the odds are ridiculously stacked against you to begin with, right? But then you bring on the fact that society has led us to believe that working 16-hour days, 7 days a week, with no real diet, no real exercise, no real downtime, equals success. That doesn't equal a successful entrepreneur. That just equals a more stressed, more tired, more unfit, less successful entrepreneur. And so, you know, that's what society has led us to believe. So we're screwed. Like I said, we're screwed right out the gate, if you think about it, Nick. It's the difference between those that really succeed in business and those that don't are those people that recognize and pay attention to specific situations as and when they come our way, and then don't let them get swallowed up by that. But they actually, instead of being swallowed up, they actually take action. And that's the biggest thing that I see people failing on over and over and over again, is just taking action on a new idea, taking action on getting their ass to a conference and networking, taking action on closing a client fast enough so they don't go and find another competitor to work with. You know, like all these, like, you know, just take action, get up off your butt and hustle and take action. And that's the biggest thing. That's one of the, you know, and then people start moaning. Oh, there's not enough hours in the day. Well, then freaking outsource something. Stop moaning and whinging about it. Get it off your plate. You know what I mean? This is tough love. Everybody listening in, this is the tough love that I give out.
Yeah, the complaint about the hours in the day, like, you know, somebody told me when I was like probably in high school, stressed out, like working, you know, trying to study it. Like, you, in looking back, like, how important was any of that? Anyways, but it's like, look, you're given the same 24 hours a day as everybody else on the planet. It's like, it's what you do with that time. It's how you, you know, allocate those resources to spend them, you know, most efficiently, most effectively. That's really going to make the difference. So, so aside from the superhero syndrome, what other pushback or what other excuses do people come up with for not, you know, not bringing on some virtual help?
Well, the big one I hear all the time is, well, why do I have to bother training someone else to do this task when I can just do it myself?
Yeah.
I can do it just fine myself. So, you know, my reaction to that is, well, okay, let's look at one particular example as a blog post. Okay, let's look at a blog post. After you write the content, you then have to lay that blog post out in WordPress, right? You've got to figure out all of the, you know, the subtitles, the bolds, the italics. You've got to import all of your images, embed your videos, your podcasts, your URL links, you know, you name it, the whole kit and caboodle. On average, I've timed it several times, and I've asked other people to time this as well. On average, 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy amount of time. Like, you think writing is the main amount of time? Like, sometimes the words just flow, but then you, like, you know, spend a ton of time just trying to make it look pretty.
Right. And I mean, the reason why that is because most bloggers are entrepreneurs or have an entrepreneurial mindset, and we're all, you know, very, very kind of type A people. There's a little bit of OCD in all of us, and we want our stuff to look good, plain and simple. So, you know, you know, 45 minutes on average. Let's say you blog twice a week. That's an hour and a half. That's 6 hours a month. What could you do with six extra hours as an entrepreneur? That's like a day of work. And there's only an average of 21 to 22 working days a month in terms of the real world, not the entrepreneurial world, obviously, right? That's 365 days a year. But, you know, what I'm getting at here is that if you didn't have to do that yourself, just imagine what you could do with that extra time. So my argument is this. Sure, you can do it well. You can do it better than anybody right now. But the next time you do it, Mike, Bob, Sue, whatever your name is, hit record on a screencasting software. Talk through why you're laying out your blog post the way that you actually are. And then dump that video clip into Dropbox and get a VA to look at it two or three times. And then never do the task again.
Yeah, no, I've been there. Definitely, like, this is like, I'm too busy to train a VA. Like, I'm too busy, you know, chopping down trees to sharpen the saw. Like, I don't have time for this. But then, right, you know, invest the time one time and then you don't have to worry about it again.
That's it.
Very good. So, Chris, tell me about the Virtual Freedom book. Like, what's it all about? How does it apply to people who are still working day jobs but building their business on the side?
I got asked to write this book about 3 years ago, and I turned it down from a publisher. And then I got contacted again in late 2012. And this time around, I paid a little bit more attention because I was in the middle of that whole brand building thing. And, you know, being a traditional author is definitely something that I wanted to do for a while. Now, I'm not knocking self-publishing, Kindle publishing, stuff like that. Trust me, it doesn't really matter. But there was just something inside of me saying traditionally published book on the shelves of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, that's a bucket list, you know, item for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. So this time around, I teamed up with a literary agent. We put a proper proposal together. It was about 8 or 9 pages long. And we pitched it out to, I believe she sent it to 16 publishers, and we got 4 real offers, which then kind of just reaffirmed my idea that the book needed to be written, quite frankly. I mean, if the 4-hour work week can get turned down 26 times.
Yeah, shoot, and you're batting 250 on your first proposal.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So I was happy with that. So I decided to write the book because there's a lot of stuff online, and you know this more so than most other people that I've spoken to recently about the book, because you have a site that focuses on VA services and, you know, you review those services and everything. I know you do. So, I mean, you know full well, there's a lot of crap online in regards to outsourcing and VAs and what you can and can't do and what you should and shouldn't do and all the rest of it.
Right.
And I really wanted to right all those wrongs. I mean, when I see so-called quote-unquote experts saying that you can hire people in the Philippines for $1.58 an hour, what little hair I have left, I pull out. It's just insane. I have over 250 people working for me full time. None of them work for $1.58 an hour. Yeah. They wouldn't come to work for $1.58 an hour, right? So
just imagine imagine what kind of, you know, how motivated is that worker going to be? Like, are they going to stick around with you long term and all that?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what kind of value are they going to bring to your business? Little to none, literally. So I wanted to right some wrongs, and I guess for me it was it's not that I'm going to stop talking about VAs or virtual teams or utilizing the power of outsourcing from a business owner perspective, but I kind of feel like this is my kind of big curtain call, if that's the right term to use. Like, this is it. Like, everything I've got is in this 300 pages. All right. And I mean that outright. I mean, there's a few websites that are in there that might not be relevant 5 years from now. There's a few salary guidelines in terms of dollar amounts that might not be relevant. Well, certainly won't be relevant 5 years from now. But the core, you know, the core manuscript of this book, 98% of it will still be relevant, not just 5 years from now, but 25 years from now. And that was what I intended to do. It's a step-by-step guide. Somebody actually, I had a couple of handfuls of really good blurbs come in from respected peers and colleagues and authors and that sort of type of thing to help, you know, promote the book and everything. And I can't remember who it is now, and I feel terrible for that. But one of my blurbs, they began the testimonial was something along the lines of, Chris Ducker has written the essential field guide.
Ooh.
For growing your virtual team. And I loved that term.
So prestigious. I mean, it is.
Yeah, right. thanks, Mom, for writing that. But no, I mean, I thought that was a great term, the essential field guide, because it really is. It's how to find, how to hire, how to train, how to manage, how to motivate, how to utilize a virtual team as a business, you know, a genuine business model to grow your business. And yeah, I mean, that's the reason why I wrote it, man. And like I said, I'm still going to talk about this stuff forever, because I'm the biggest advocate I know about it. But I kind of feel like this is it. You know, that everything I need people to know is in this book. Simple as that.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. And hopefully, if you're listening, you can grab a copy as well. So it's at virtualfreedombook.com. And I'm sure you can check it out at chrisducker.com as well. So,
yeah, it's still on Amazon and everything. It's everywhere online. And you know,
and it's a real deal. It's in stores. Like, it's a legit book.
Yeah. I like that I say it's the real deal. It's actually in an actual bookstore, right? We're already seeing a ton of pre-sales coming in, and I am very quietly excited to see what kind of splash it makes. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. That's going to be awesome. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. We've got to wrap things up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Well, surprise, surprise, it's you know, maximizing your time. It's going to be growing your team. That's going to be what it is. If I could turn back that time, like I said, and start building my team earlier, I believe that even though I was in a full blown business situation, even if I was just a side hustle, you know, proponent, I believe that bringing on extra people to help me on my mission to escape the man and to turn that side hustle into a full time gig, I think having my team around me, even just contractual based freelance workers, would have made it much easier.
Yeah, buddy, let's do it.
Rock and roll.
Awesome. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, brother.
This edition of The Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Alex Gannadinic and Problemio.com. Alex is a longtime friend of the show. You can hear him talking about app development and discovery with me way back in episode 3. So he's been around for since the very beginning. Now, Alex is in a unique position because his app customers, and we're talking 300,000 plus downloads at this point, are all entrepreneurs, and many of them side hustlers. Because of that, he's fielded over 1,000 questions on the topics of startups, marketing, business ideas, that sort of thing. So in addition to the labor of love of answering those questions and the painstaking task of answering those questions one-on-one, he's compiled his best work into one resource, a new book called Business and Startup Ideas. Grab a copy today. It's $2.99 on Kindle. You can find the link to that, as well as all of Alex's apps, at sidehustlenation.com/Alex. Now, try as you might, you can't do it all yourself. And this is what Chris was talking about, superhero syndrome, and I call it like the, you know, the entrepreneurial ceiling. But I have a hard time letting go. And I think as entrepreneurs, we all do. We're used to doing everything ourselves. So, but in order to get past that, in order to grow, delegation and overcoming that need to do everything yourself is really the only way to make it happen. So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned I would share my, you know, virtual freedom moment in honor of Chris's new book. And, you know, I've got several of these, but the biggest one was last fall, being able to take off for five and a half weeks and travel to Japan and Southeast Asia with my lovely bride on a much belated honeymoon. And to be sure, I still spent some days working, but I felt comfortable leaving the day-to-day operations in the hands of my capable virtual assistant and team. And it was kind of funny. We did a lot of practice, like before leaving, handing off certain jobs and tasks before I left to make sure everything would go smoothly. And for the most part, it worked out okay. There were still some fires to put out, but it was fine. And it was just so rewarding to be able to take that time off and not be tied to my job and have the virtual freedom to make it happen. So now it's your turn. If you're working with a VA, what's been your virtual freedom moment? And if you haven't taken the plunge yet, think about what a virtual assistant might mean to you and your business. Leave me a comment in the show notes for this episode at sidehustlenation.com/episode45 and let me know. Yeah, that's it for the show. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 46.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.